Okay, we're starting with Principle 6 tonight and Step 8. Let's go ahead and read that. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful, Matthew 5:7. Happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 8. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31. Tonight we're going to look at another of the challenging parts of our journey in recovery. We're going to be talking about amends. The first time I saw the title of this lesson, I was browsing through some step study books. And when I saw the title, I actually got anxious to the point of a panic attack. Weird, huh? Because of childhood hurts, I was afraid to admit when I had made mistakes or hurt someone. I became angry at ongoing hurts in my past and protected the hurt with stubborn resentment. Growing up, my dad would react to childish mistakes with, "You know better than that." Or he'd shake his head in disgust and respond with angry and belittling comments. I learned that making mistakes hurt deeply and that I couldn't do anything right. When I made mistakes, it was all my fault and I deserved whatever I got. This made it painful and terrifying to even think of admitting that I had done something wrong. Imagine my relief, though, when I discovered that this lesson is not about making amends, it is about becoming willing to make amends. It gave me a little bit more time. It's time to consider our willingness to forgive those who have hurt us and forgive ourselves for hurting others. We started our large group lessons last September by doing repair work on the personal side of our lives, by admitting our powerlessness, turning our lives and wills over to God's care, doing our moral inventory, sharing our sins or wrongs with another person, and admitting our shortcomings and asking God to remove them. But now we begin to do some repair work on the relational side of our lives. Making your amends is the beginning of the end of our isolation from God and others. We're not usually excited to make amends. We usually have thoughts like, well, if God's forgiven me, isn't that enough? Why should I drag up the past? Let sleeping dogs lie. It's just between me and God and nobody else. What I did wasn't that bad. They don't seem to have a problem with it. Why should I? I'm afraid that if I bring it up, my relationship with the other person will change, and not for the better. The answer is that making amends is not about our past so much as it is about our present and our future. Before we can have the healthy relationships that we're looking for, we need to clean out the guilt, shame, and pain that has caused many of our past relationships to fail, right? Yeah. It is time to make a list of persons that we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Step 8 asks us to identify those to whom we need to make amends or offer forgiveness. And we're going to do some of that beginning work tonight, if we haven't already done it. Luke 6:31 reminds us to treat others the way that we want to be treated. For some, it may be extremely difficult. If you've been hurt very badly or abused, you had nothing to do with the wrong committed against you. Often unforgiveness is when the wrong against the individual was often child molestation, sexual abuse, or adultery. Such sins are deep violations that leave painful wounds. But they are also the root of dysfunction that brings many people into recovery. Forgiving the perpetrator of such wrongs seems impossible, even after the one harmed has dealt with the emotional pain. We're going to deal specifically with the issue in the next lesson on the three steps of forgiveness. That's in 2 weeks. Celebrate Recovery rewards this step for those in the sexual physical abuse groups. And this is how it's worded. Make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. So let's take a look at the second part of Principle 6. Make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come back and offer your gift." When I was 18, I was molested by a trusted friend. Later, he had vaguely apologized. I was embarrassed and quietly said I forgave him. As I began to work my recovery, I realized how lightly I had let him off the hook. And I really, really wanted to come back and kind of do this all over again with him, talk with him about it and do what I needed to do. But by then, now, he's married with grandkids. And this is a good example of how confronting him now would actually harm him and the people in his family. I needed not only to forgive, but to turn over the awakened resentment to God. And I'm still working on that, though I'm really quite a ways there. Every once in a while it kind of comes up and I have to go, step back. No, I'm handing this over. The first part of Principle 6 deals with being willing to consider forgiveness. The second part of Principle 6 calls us to action. As we make our amends and offer our forgiveness, in order for there to be the possibility to restore past broken relationships and clear a place for new relationships, we must pull out the dead weeds of those broken relationships. This is why Principle 6 is so important. It gets in our way, doesn't it? First thing in your handout, you'll see column 1, I owe amends to. This is where you list the persons to whom you need to be willing to make amends to, those people that you've harmed. So as we're talking through things, or even later on this evening, if God brings somebody to mind, even if it's light, you know, just put a name down. That's what I've done, just kind of sit there. Whatever comes to your heart, whatever comes to your mind, just put it down. You don't have to analyze it now. This isn't the time to do that. Just put it down and be willing to write it down there. And then on column 2 is when we talk about who I need to forgive and becoming willing to forgive them. And so if that comes to mind for you as well, just jot down a name, and that's all you need to do right now. Okay. Then we're going to go ahead and do our acrostic right now. Oh, my pages got turned over. Okay, starting with A, A is admit the hurt and harm. Principle 4 showed us how important it is to open up to God and others. Your feelings have been bottled up for a long time, and that interferes with all of our important relationships. The people close to you, those are the people that usually get the brunt of what's happening inside of you because your relationships are so close. In this step of the recovery, you need to, once again, face the hurts and resentments and wrongs that others have caused you or that you have caused others. Holding on to the resentments not only blocks your recovery, it blocks God's forgiveness in your life. That's a big thing. And if we're looking and seeking for God's presence and more of God's presence, it's going to get in the way. Unforgiveness gets in the way. So if you're struggling with the presence of God, look back to, is there forgiveness that I need to be giving? The next letter is M, make a list. If you've done an inventory in the past in a step study, this information will come from column 1 in your step study sheet. There you'll find the list of people that you need to forgive, and these are the people who have hurt you. And if you've done that in the past, a step study, and you've got column 1, this might be a time for you to open up to God and say, you know, who else? Especially if there's been a long time since the last time you've done a step study or done an amends list. Maybe spend some quiet time before God. I know that's what I've done. It's like, okay, I'm going to open my heart up because it's been a while. What do you want to tell me? What do I need to see? Now the second part where on the inventory sheets in column 5, which is at the end far right, if you've ever seen it. If not, do a step study, you'll see it, right? These are the ones whom you've hurt. If it's been let's see, wait a minute, already did that. When you're making your list, don't worry about the how-tos, as in, oh man, I don't, you know, how am I going to talk to my dad? How am I going to talk to my brother? How am I going to do this with an old friend that now we don't have a relationship? We're not worrying about that right now. We're just being open to God, listening to his voice, and then writing down a name. You'll deal with the other pieces and the other barriers that feel like it get in the way as you go through further in the process. But right now, we're writing down names. The next one is E in amends stands for encourage one another. Now, we can't do this on our own steam because it really exhausts us, but it's also scary. It's very scary to have to deal with not only the hurts inside, but a lot of the resentments, especially dealing with another person. It can be really scary. I know it was for me. So we need encouragement. We need people standing with us. And encouragement is oxygen to the soul. Before you make your amends or offer your forgiveness, meet with an accountability partner, your sponsor, people in your small group that you feel close to that know your story. That's where you're going to find the encouragement, the people that can be a sounding board for you about what that issue is and how you're working with God about that. They can be praying for you, pray with you. That person's objective opinion is really valuable because they don't have all the emotions that you have, and they can help guide you through that process. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." If you are asked to be an encourager, an accountability partner, or sponsor, be honored. That's quite a task to do for your brother or sister because they can be there for you as well. Remember, you can't hold a torchlight to another person's path without brightening your own. You have to do your own work too. The N in amends is the reason for making the amends, not for them. We're doing it for us and our relationship with God. Be humble, be honest, sincere, and willingly offer your forgiveness. Do not offer excuses or attempt to justify your actions. Do not mention the other person's part. Focus only on your part. Don't expect anything back. Don't expect forgiveness, even though that's what you hope for. This is why we're talking to a sponsor or accountability partner is important. They can encourage you in searching your own heart as to why you're doing this. And when it comes time, are you doing it with that right spirit? The reason for making the amends is the change in your own heart. We have to admit to ourselves and the other person our wrongs in order to be free from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, as painful as that, or scary as that might be. It was really scary for me. Principle 6 says that I'm responsible to make amends for harm I've done to others. Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them. I don't know what that says. Anyway, Luke 6:35. God loves us generously and graciously, even when we are at our worst. God is kind, and we need to be kind. We can become so used to our bitterness, resentments, and anger that we don't realize how deeply it poisons our hearts and lives and our relationships. We can also feed on those which make them stronger, which will kill you emotionally and shrivel your soul. I don't know about you, but that's done that to me, where I just started not feeling and I was hurting so deeply and I wasn't getting anywhere with God, though I knew he loved me. But I was drowning in my anger and my fear and my resentment. And so what that does is it produces what John Baker calls the three D's, depression, despair, and discouragement. And that's true, right? Yeah. An unforgiving heart will cause you more pain and destruction than it will ever cause the person who hurt you. Next is the D in amends. Do it at the right time. This principle not only requires courage, good judgment, and willingness, but a careful sense of timing. And this one is kind of tricky. When I was looking at this, it was pretty tricky. I'll get to that in a moment. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us there is a right time for everything. There is a time to let things happen and a time to make things happen. There is a right time and a wrong time to offer forgiveness or make amends. Before making amends, you need to pray asking Jesus Christ for his guidance, his direction, and his perfect timing. Again, back to perfect timing. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 tells us, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We can become so focused on our own recovery and really feeling like we need to have some justice for some of the wrongs that have been done in our lives to us. But we have to remember that other part, that we have to treat those that have even hurt us with some respect, because they're a human being too, lost, broken like we are. And that's hard to realize when, for me, I was so angry and resentful, I didn't want to give them any purchase of grace or mercy because I wanted them to suffer. But that's not the way God works. He doesn't work that way. He loves them just as much as he loves me. And it wasn't until I got that whole thing that I was able to start willingly letting go of my anger and resentment. It takes some time. Relationship with God, and people supporting you to do that. We can become focused on our own discomfort and relieving the pressure of it that we forget to look at the needs of the person we'll be asking amends for or giving forgiveness. And one of the things that I had to do is start, my sponsor mentioned to me about, is this person going through, like, did they just lose their job? You know, I'm sitting here working really hard and praying and getting over my anxiety about, you know, I have to ask their forgiveness for a snarky attitude, and it was really, really, really embarrassing to have to do that. And yet I had to think of, is this a good time for this other person? Am I catching them, like, after they lost a job? Maybe there's a family member, or maybe they've been really sick chronically. If they're really ill, they're not going to appreciate you adding more stress in their life by bringing this stuff up. You got to ask for God's timing. Ask for God's spirit. And on the flip side of that, don't wait until you feel like making your amends or offering your forgiveness. So this is kind of a balancing act, and that's why it's really important to seek God about it. Living that principle takes an act of will. Or perhaps a crisis of the will. I like the way he says that. It's an act of obedience to scripture and of personal survival. So we have to do preference to the person who has offended us or that we've hurt, which is hard to do. But it's also one where we have to make sure it's the right time. And I lost the other part of it. Sorry, guys. Okay, let's go to the last letter. S. Start living the promises of recovery. We'll begin to discover God's gift of freedom for which we so deeply long. God's peace and serenity begin to make its home in our hearts. And we're becoming ready to embrace God's purpose for our lives. And that's what we want, right? That's why we're here in recovery. As for me and my dad, I'm not able to offer forgiveness or make amends with him. He has dementia. I talked with my sponsor and accountability partners about my relationship with my dad and my desire to let go of my anger and resentment toward him. I confess the hurt and the pain and the resulting confusion, frustration, anger, and resentment. I ask God to show me anything that he wants me to see about my relationship with my dad. I confessed, and then God showed me that I was still holding on to the bitterness and vengeance that I wanted Dad to have. But God also showed me that I was being stubborn about not letting go. I was afraid that if I did, Dad wouldn't be held accountable and never have to pay for how much pain he caused me. He had to pay. Someone had to pay. Jesus paid. I had to let that be enough. Jesus paid the price of Dad's sin to me, whether Dad received it or not. He did that for Dad. He did that for me. I just had to receive it. Now I pray for God's mercy on my dad, that somehow Dad will come to know Jesus before he dies. I love my dad. God promises, I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Principle 6 offers you freedom. Freedom from the chains of resentment and hurt. Freedom through your amends for the harm that you've caused others. To look at them in the eye, knowing that you're working with God to clean up your side of the street. Because that's what you're responsible for. You're not responsible for their side of the street. If you've made amends before, take a moment and consider the freedom and blessings that you have received from that. And you'd be encouraged to be sharing those in small group tonight, because that would be encouragement for those who are just starting that process. There's a song that I'd like you to listen to as you're listening. Take a look at your amends and forgiveness list. And if God brings something to mind, just jot something down. We'll just be quiet and listen to what it has to say.
Today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Impossible.
Papa God, I pray for willingness. Willingness to evaluate all my past and current relationships. I admit to you my fear that looks like stubbornness. My resentment that looks like unforgiveness. Give me courage, Papa. I can't do this in my own strength. I need your help. Help me open my heart to you, not be defensive. Help me to see what you want me to see. Show me the people whom I've hurt. Help me to become willing to offer amends to them. I pray for your perfect timing for when to take action. Remind me that shame does not come from you. Love and forgiveness is who you are. We love you, Papa. Amen.